brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 27 to 33. When the court officials had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." In other words, that we're guilty of his death. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men." Are you that strong? Do you have that kind of character? Ask the Holy Spirit for grace. We must obey God rather than men. "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. How willing are we to speak up? I don't mean to force things on people, but if people ask us a question, how willing are we to clearly speak the truth? We need the wisdom of God so that it's a balance, the truth but done in mercy. You don't begin by pointing your finger at them and saying, "You're a sinner," even though they are, but so are you. You begin by declaring the gospel message. Many people today, don't assume, many people today have never read the scriptures, know nothing. The flood leaving the church, all churches, is massive. So if somebody asks you a question, you want to be in a position where you can answer. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need his power and his wisdom, his charity. We need to ask for it. We need to see how badly we need it. Psalm 34 tells us the Lord hears the cry of the poor. That's you and me. We're the poor. He's not talking about money, and he's not talking about possessions. He's talking about the poor who are humble, lowly, admit their weakness, admit their sin, see their deficiencies, see the absence of things that they wish they had and they can see are necessary. But if we put a number of us together, we can bring together all the gifts, and God can use us. That's why it's so important to learn how to relate with one another so that we uphold one another. We don't get into petty squabbles and fights over absolutely nothing. I would be profoundly embarrassed if I had to stand before the face of God and say, "Yes, just before I died, I was having an argument with someone because their office was bigger than mine and my office needed to be at least the same size as theirs." Now, doesn't that sound ludicrous? But don't we do that kind of thing? What really is important in life? Where should my attention and my energy and my repentance be? The Lord hears the cry of the poor. If we're living simply, humbly, if we're repenting when we fail, we're part of the poor. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him." Not in your position, not in your degrees, not in power, not in money, not in who you know, but the one who takes refuge in Jesus Christ. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. Many are the troubles of the just man, but out of them all, the Lord delivers him. Do you believe that? Can you honestly pray that? Ask God for help. Brothers and sisters, Thomas, as we read about so often in these days. Thomas expressed, I think, the pain of us all. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I won't believe. There are many, many people like that. We have to do our part to bring them as close to Jesus as we can. And we don't do that, well, we do it by words, but our words have to be backed up by our actions, our attitude, the fruit of our work. It just simply means obey the Ten Commandments, live the gospel, let your faith grow deeper and deeper and deeper. Let it grow. You don't just discard it and put it over here and say, okay, yep, I believe in God, so I'm done with faith. You haven't begun. You want to believe that he is who he says he is, that he has died for you, that he prepares a place for you, that he will forgive you your sins day in and day out and bring you safely back to his kingdom. That's who he is. He is your Savior, your Messiah, your Lord, your God, your Father. His Spirit dwells in you. Do you give them room? Do you give them place in your life? Or do you think they're just kind of ideas so that your imagination can go to work? Because we can't see, we can't touch, and we can't taste, we can't feel, we can't smell, so therefore it's not real. We're so earthbound in terms of taking all our information through our senses. Faith is something very different. How great is your faith? How deep is your faith? Ask God every day, increase my faith to believe that you are who you say you are, to believe that you created me for a purpose, to live out that purpose and to come safely home to you, bringing as many people with me as I possibly can. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 31 to 36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. That Holy Spirit is poured out on each one of us. If we choose to accept, if we choose to be trained by God into what those gifts are in us and how to use them, God never rations the gift of the Spirit. We can receive as much as we long for it and ask God for it. We can receive more and more of the Holy Spirit. We will only have him fully in heaven. But it is not God who says, while you're here on earth, well, you can only have this from the Holy Spirit or that from the Holy Spirit. No, he does not ration the gift. It's given. Are you receiving it? Does he have a place of life and rest within you? The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. God will forgive every sin, brothers and sisters. God will forgive every sin if we come to him and repent. And if we seek to change our lives. You know, part of repentance is the indication that you're changing. To just say, I'm sorry, and then just go right on doing it is not true contrition. So I'm talking about true contrition. You may fall a number of times in the process, but you are desiring to change and you're moving toward change. And the first week you may only be able to do one less sin than you did last week in that same area. But if you're moving in that direction, you're going to get there. It's the people who say, oops, yep, did that, got to go to confession. You go to confession, good, all clear out, and we go back to business as usual. And that's what we can't do. My sin, the temptations for my sins, I've got to look, and if possible, there are probably places I shouldn't go and people I shouldn't meet with. Am I willing to do that? You can't barricade yourself from sin, but you can take a look at where do I feel tempted? Where do I feel tempted to give in? Where do I feel tempted to forget that I am a son or daughter of God? Where do I let the Holy Spirit's voice be shut up? By the way I think, by the way I speak, by the way I act. We have grave responsibility here in this life. God will help us. God will be there. God will supply marvelously. And he does. In some ways, he's willing to squander his graces in the hope, out of his merciful heart, in the hope that we will be touched and changed. Don't ever take it for granted, though. As I said before, someone died that you might receive this grace. And grace is God sharing his life with us. It's really, really arrogance if we say, thanks God, that's all I need now. Talk to you later. Arrogance. We need to humble ourselves before the face of God. Repent of our sin. Receive the mercy of God. And then begin to live out of it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord so wants to bestow upon us so much. And yet he knows in many ways that he can't right now because we'll just fall deeper into sin. We'll reject it more, or we'll take it for our own purposes. We'll take the gift of wisdom. Thank you. I'm going to use it to do X and Y and Z rather than, Lord, when you share your wisdom, you share yourself with me. Help me that you might be shared to many through me. Help me. You're always in a position of being a son or daughter and a servant, a disciple of God. You go to him. You don't decide. You go to him. You ask his help, his counsel, before you ever make a decision. By meaning you don't decide, I mean that's not where you begin. I'm going to do this, God bless it. No, it's Lord, what you want of me. And as he speaks to us, we take on more of his mind, his heart, his priorities. And that's critical. And then Spirit can work through us. And then there's great blessing. That's what God intends for us. That's what God has for us. And he has that through his Holy Spirit. Are we going to accept Jesus or not? God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.